Well, good morning. How are you? Good. My name is David. I'm the pastor here. If I haven't met you yet, I'm so glad you're with us. We are in the midst of a series through the book of Galatians. And what I've shared with you over the last 4-5 months, I've been taking a couple young men in our church through a pastoral training program, teaching them to be expositors of the word and to be faithful to that. And I've invited them each to teach a message in this series. And so this morning, Colton will be sharing the word with us. So I'm just introing this time, and then I'm going to hand off the reins to Colton, and he's going to share the last part of chapter 1 in Galatians. So right now what we're going to do, I'd love for you to just extend a hand, and we're going to pray over Colton, and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and God, we thank you that you call us to dig into your word, to draw close to you. And so, God, we thank you for that opportunity this morning to do that together in this corporate setting. God, I thank you for the time of worship that we had when we sang together, "Great are you, Lord." God, if all that worship consisted of was just saying, "Great are you, Lord," it would be enough. God, if we opened your word and just read the text this morning, it would be enough, because you are a great God. And so, God, we thank you for the opportunities that we have in this service. God, I pray that as Colton has been going through this process and is now going to share your word, God, I pray more than anything that he would be faithful to your word, that he would listen to you, and that as we covered last week, he wouldn't seek to be a pleaser of man, but a servant of Christ. And so, God, we love you, we thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So, as David said, my name is Colton, and I have the pleasure of bringing the word today. Just to recap what we talked through last week, we were in verses 6 through 10 of the first chapter of Galatians. And David talked specifically on how the people in Galatia had been preaching a gospel contrary to what they had heard, right? So they were kind of believing these things that you didn't have to, or that you had to do certain things during your salvation, right? Counter to the gospel that we know, right? The gospel we know is that Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected for your sins, and that there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation, right? That's a gift from God. So as he went over that, we continued later in that chapter, in verses 9 and 10, that if you're seeking to please man, you can't be a servant of Christ. And Paul addresses that for them because that's an issue that they're wrestling with, and it's still an issue we have today. But that's to recap last week. This week, we're going to be in chapter 1, and we'll be in verses 11 through 24. You can turn there now if you like, but we're not going to jump right into that. I'm going to give you your fill in the blanks because I'm not big on surprises, and I'm not someone who wants to make you wait on that forever. And there's value in our three fill-ins this morning as we kind of delve into them. It's going to be super relevant to our text, which is good, right? We'd have to have fill in the blanks that are not related to the text. That'd be awkward. I wouldn't be doing my job well, but. Our fill in the blank is this. We are all called by God, and regardless of who we were, our aim is to share the truth of the gospel. And that should be behind me. I hope that it is. Sweet. I'm new at this. So that's our sentence, and that's what Paul's going to be addressing in these verses. And that's kind of what we're going to break down. And we'll get into the text later, and I'm not going to go blaspheme here. I just want to give you some context of why I'm in front of you, like how I got to this point, specifically that I'm now teaching the word, which is terrifying. And you guys are awesome. I appreciate the laughs. So when I graduated high school, which was a handful of years ago, and we don't really need to go into when that was, but when I graduated high school, I had a handful of, you know, desires, wishes, things that I aspired to be, things that I aspired to have. Like, you set this 5-year plan. It's kind of the structure, at least a concrete high school. It's a small high school, so, you know, maybe you don't do that everywhere. But you set a 5-year plan, right? And it's all these goals, dreams, things that you want to be, the job that you want to have, where you want to live, et cetera, et cetera. And they basically ask you to plan out your life, right? And as far as my goals, what I wanted a small house with a huge garage, lots of toys to put in said garage, lots of land, lots of guns, you know, typical dreams of a concrete kid, the things that we aspire to up there. But as I came to learn later in life, that wasn't necessarily my calling specifically. I've learned now, kind of by force, which we'll get into that, as God tends to pull us out of situations he doesn't necessarily want us in. I aspired to make lots of money, have a nice house, have a fast car, big truck, et cetera, the list goes on of things that I wanted, which to clarify, you know, I don't have those things. But I had this idea of what success looked like and what success for me specifically looked like. And, you know, that had been cultivated by friends, by my environment, by my culture, by my family. And it wasn't the same image of success that God had for me. And I came to realize that later by force, as I said earlier. But in our text, we're going to read of a guy who, was progressing in his culture. He was advancing really far, and he was, you know, achieving the success that he had been raised to believe was success. And God kind of just ripped him out of that because that wasn't the calling that God had for him. So now would be a great time to flip to Galatians if you're not there. And we're going to be in chapter 1. We're going to read verses 11 through 24. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and you called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. So, I'm going to set this to the side so I'm not distracted. In verses 13 and 14, we see Paul first acknowledge who he was before Christ, right? As the big struggle, bring it back a little bit, the big struggle that they're facing right now is that because a false gospel has been preached, they're kind of questioning Paul's authority to preach the gospel that he's received, right? So he addresses exactly why he's been called to these things, why he's been called to preach. And he starts in verse 13 and 14 by going back and acknowledging who he was before his conversion. At one point, you know, if we go back to Acts chapter 7, 8, and then his conversion in 9, we see Paul when he's present at and condones the stoning of Stephen, someone who is in the ministry. And we see him as he passionately pursues and violently persecutes the church, right? This was not a man that at that point in time would have been writing to the Galatians, affirming Christ's love for them. You know, this is very opposite the man that we see. He was someone who was advancing in Judaism beyond many his age, right? Super zealous for his fathers. Oh, sweet, we have it behind me. Super zealous. Yeah, you guys can kind of read along as I'm naming these. For the traditions of his fathers, violently persecuted the church, and he sought to destroy it, right? Those were his priorities, right? And that was because of where he was, who he was, his identity. And he acknowledges it later, right? That, and it's not an acknowledgement that he's out of joy, right? He's not writing that, I'm sure, sitting there writing this down, like, man, I'm so glad that I murdered all those people. I was present at Stephen's stoning. You know, I'm willing to put money on the fact that he wasn't joyous in writing that, right? That was probably a part of his past that he reflected on and wasn't happy about it. But he acknowledges that that's who he was. And this, I talked a little bit about how God pulled me out of that identity. And you know, as Paul is pulled out of his identity as someone who persecutes the church, like that very directly relates to my story. So I want to share a little bit of that with you. About 3 years ago now, I went into the Carpenters Union. And I grew up, you know, I was going to go to college. I was going to become a teacher. And then I realized that teachers are grossly underpaid. And so I went into construction because construction workers are sometimes overpaid, especially in the union. But that's relatable for some of you. So I went into the union, and I went down to Bellevue, and I built high-rises. And I want to clarify that as I communicate that wasn't my calling to go and do that, I want to clarify that I'm not saying that God doesn't call people to be construction workers. If you've ever worked in construction, you know that Jesus needs to be present there in that environment. Very much so. As with any environment, but especially construction workers. But they, you know, as I went into construction, it was kind of self-seeking. You know, I wanted to make this money. And that environment, that culture, I'm someone who is pretty well influenced by my environment, not consciously, but it happens. And I became bitter, self-seeking, callous. These things that are not Christ-like, right? And as I'm called to be in Christ's image, it became very evident that was not where I was called to. And by the grace of God, I was pulled out of that environment, not by my choice. I would not be necessarily standing here if I had continued down that path. And because God ripped me out of that kind of by force, I had to kind of readdress what my calling was, what my purpose was, where God desired for me to be specifically, right? Because up until that point, I'd been pursuing my will. I'd been, you know, seeking the big bucks, the small house, big garage, the whole concrete story. You know, I'd been seeking those things. Those were my desire. And because of that, you know, I became influenced by culture. I became influenced by these different things, and it shaped me in a way that was not Christ-focused. I was reading the wrong page. You know, as we continue through the text, we see Paul after he's been converted, right? He experiences, oh, my text is gone. Okay, that's fine. He experiences the grace of God and he's converted, and he doesn't immediately go and start preaching the word, right? He goes, yeah, it's back up. He goes and he says he doesn't go and seek counsel, but he goes away, right? And he does that because, just, I mean, envision for a moment with me, like, you've been operating one way for your entire life. Like, your entire identity is based in these things. Like, for me, it was based in construction, money, success, culture's image of that. For Paul, it was, you know, his forefathers' traditions. It was pursuing the church, not pursuing the church, persecuting the church. There's a big difference there. He's still pursuing them. But, you know, for us, like, as we were called out of those things and called into ministry in different capacities, that's a big life change, right? You're going to need to address that, right? You're going to need to step into that and not hastily. There's a time, you know, where you just need to figure out your calling and pray about it and then seek counsel for that. You know, find out exactly where God wants you to be. And so, you know, he went away, he went into these different communities, and then he met with Cephas and sought counsel, et cetera, et cetera. But responding to the call wasn't something that he knew how to do right away. That was a process, right? That was a lengthy process. It says it was years. And seeking counsel is a necessity for us, right? And some of you may be sitting out there like, I don't know what my calling is or what God calls me to. There are plenty of godly men and godly women in this church that I know for a fact would love to sit down with you and pray with you and seek that with you and walk hand in hand with you to figure out, you know, what God calls you to. The core of that, as we pull back to our sentence, is to share the truth of the gospel. But how you do that, you know, there are people in this congregation, there are people in other congregations that would love to sit down and have those conversations with you. My favorite is where he ends. And because this is my first time, I'm not going to go nearly as long as David. So, yeah, for some of you, you might be like, yes, that's great. Some of you. the way that it ends, you know, the very last two verses, the only we're hearing it said that he used to persecute us is now preaching the faith that he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. I don't think that any of you, to the best of my knowledge, that any of you are violently trying to destroy the church right now. I'm not experiencing that. But I could be wrong. The point is, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. The beauty of what Paul is communicating is that it doesn't matter who you were or what you've done. Because God doesn't use us based on who we were. He uses us based on who Christ is. And it's really simple. And I literally have it written for emphasis that I have to repeat that. God doesn't use us based on who we were. He uses us based on who Christ is. And so once you figured out that calling, like, respond. You know, like, all Paul did, and it, you know, it sounds a lot more, like, it feels a lot more complicated than this, but all Paul did was respond to the calling, right? He abandoned his old self. He took up his new self in Christ, and he went, and he did what he was called to. And God was glorified because of that. You know, so again, God doesn't use us based on who we were. He uses us based on who Christ is. Yeah, praise him for that. Like, this, seriously. And that's beautiful. You know, like, Paul's story is, you know, if it ended after the stoning of Stephen, you know, like, I wouldn't be something to rejoice in, like, how it actually ends. You know, Paul writes the majority of the New Testament. He goes on to establish all these churches. You know, he goes on to disciple all these men. And he did that because he responded to his calling. And that's uncomfortable sometimes. You know, so I don't stand before you as if, like, responding to your calling is this easy peasy, like, 1, 2, 3, just go and do it. My calling, and I'll lead to this a little bit. My calling has been specifically to youth, and has found itself cultivated in a ministry called Youth Dynamics. And I am super uncomfortable every day because my entire income is based off of the support of my peers. And so in order to make a living and do the ministry that God has set before me, I have to literally sit down with people, buy them coffee, and ask them, will you pay me to do this? And that's uncomfortable, you know, but that's the calling that God has for me. And so I'm responding to that. And so, you know, sometimes God doesn't ask us to be comfortable. He doesn't ask us to pursue the things that we want to pursue, our desires. He, you know, I'm not going to say that God doesn't bless you according to your desires, but he's going to ask you to be uncomfortable sometimes. And I just want to leave you guys with one question, just to kind of ponder and work out, you know, have conversation about it, or say quietly and don't, you know, it's up to you what you do with it. But I just want to ask you, are you living according to your comfort or according to God's calling for your life? And that, I don't ask that with like a light heart, like, that's, you know, this is a pivotal point when you address whether or not you're living according to your comfort or God's calling. And I'm not saying that everyone has to go and ask everyone to support them financially, or you have to quit your job in the construction business, or, you know, you have to do these things. Just ask yourself, am I living according to my own comfort or according to God's calling? Because, you know, what we see according to Scripture, according to Paul's life, is that when we live according to God's calling, good things happen. And it might not always feel like that, but God is always working and God is always good. I heard it time and time again, and it's been repeated to me before I got up here, that, you know, at the end of the day, God is good. And that's all you need backing you. You know, if you're gonna commit to God, like, know that God is good, and if he calls you into something, he's gonna be good in that. So I'm just gonna pray and close this out. So if you guys want to bow your heads with me, that'd be awesome.